What's up, everyone from all around the world, including Canada, USA, Long Island, plus the five boroughs of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens. I'm here to guide and help you about Anchor. Anchor is a free hosting site and phone app which is owned by Spotify. It's the easiest, awesome way to make a podcast. Why are you wasting your money paying for a hosting site to promote your podcast with limited storages? Forget about it. Let me break it down to you. There's creation tools that allow you to record, edit, monetize, add music, intros, music outros, especially distribute your podcast to streaming platforms, uploading episodes with unlimited storages of your podcast right from your phones, computers, laptops, and tablets. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Plus, you get paid some money in your pocket from sponsorships. Excellent. These are the keys you need to make a podcast, including the listeners supporting your show. That way, you can listen to the episodes of my show, Off the Meat Rack Chain's New York Podcast, the unfiltered comedy entertainment show about the stories mixed with entertainment news, music, real life segments, and much more. Now, where can you find, follow, and listen to the show, you ask? You can follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram, all in one word, Off the Meat Rack Chain's New York Podcast. Alongside with my other show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, and my primary handle, G-Money Stacks 555 in Queens, New York. Now, the streaming platforms goes like this. We are on Anchor, Audio Burst, Breaker, Podorama, Listen Notes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, Player FM, TuneIn, Reason FM. We are on PodFriend, Podorama, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. If you have a dream of creating and becoming a podcaster like myself and individual friends that is co-hosting with me, go download the free Anchor app or you can check out anchor.fm to get started. Take advantage of the opportunity that's thrown in your face. If I could do it and reach success, so can you. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you for listening. Let's go.
Yes, yes. Good evening, everyone in the USA, all over the world, Long Island, the five spots of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens. I'm your man, G Money Stacks, aka Lonely Nomad, aka the Greginator, aka YouTuber, aka the host with the most, aka rookie podcaster of Queens, New York. and you are now rocking with Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast, episode 69. That's right. We just reached this mark. A round of applause for 69. Almost close to 70, folks. And speaking of that, if you are new to the channel and you are a new viewer from the YouTube universe and alongside with new listeners, of course, welcome. Don't worry, I got you. All you need to do is go grab the subscribe button on my YouTube channel, which is GMoneySnacks555, for more episodes of Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast, which will be automatically posted after the recordings. And you grab the subscribe button, go enable the alerts along with the notification bell so you can be reminded when the show goes in the air via live stream, alongside with leaving a like and a comment along with the topics and episodes. More video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes, and of course, share the videos. And of course, spread the word and make sure you share the podcast along with audio streaming platforms, which I will discuss at the end of the show. All right. Now, here we go. So, listen. Our first topic, first of all, before we even get into chatting or the jazz, this is a segment that I haven't done in a very, very long time, in a minute. So we're going to go to a segment called New York Mass Transit Files. Basically what that is, it's basically talking about, you know, the stories behind the scenes of mass transit, like the MCA, New York City Transit buses, the subways, of course, Nice Bus. But in this case, we have an incident that happened today, which I heard earlier, actually. And this is regarding a woman who was shoved by 42nd Street, Times Square train station by the 1, 2, and 3 line. In case you guys don't know what I'm talking about here, the person that actually did this actually got arrested. So here's the story that I'm gonna read to you guys right here, man. So just bear with me. All right. So police in New York City released a video on October 4th that they said shows an unidentified individual pushing a woman on a Times Square 42nd Street subway platform, causing her to be struck by a moving train. The New York City Police Department said the incident happened on Monday, approximately 8:05 a.m. inside the Times Square 42nd Street subway station. Security camera footage shows the individual pushed someone as the train approaches the platform. The victim, wearing a blue backpack, can be seen to be pushed by the suspect. Police said the suspect fled after pushing the 42-year-old woman victim, who then fell back onto the platform after being struck. They said the victim sustained serious physical injuries to her face and legs and was transported in a stable condition to NYC Health Plus Hospitals/Bellevue. Police were seeking the public's assistance in identifying the individual who is seen in the video and what they said was an unprovoked assault. Now, listen. Yes, you hear. I hear the same stories all the time, how people are getting pushed. It's like, I'm really hoping that they arrest that person who's doing this. Let's see if I could find some more information.
Let's see. Of course. Yes. Accused Times Square subway shover charged with attempted murder. The woman accused of shoving another woman in front of an incoming train at 42nd Street on Monday has been taken into custody, police said. So Midtown Manhattan, New York, the woman who allegedly shoved a fellow passenger in front of an oncoming train in a Midtown subway station on Monday was arrested after a day-long search, police said. Antonia Agabarbara, a Queens resident, was arrested Tuesday morning and charged with attempted murder following the assault, which happened around 8:05 a.m. Monday at the 42nd Street Times Square station. According to police, the victim, a 42-year-old woman, was waiting on the northbound 123 platform as a train arrived. Without provocation, video showed the not yet identified suspect standing up from a bench and pushing the woman from behind, causing her to be struck by the moving train. The woman fell back onto the platform, suffering serious physical injuries to her face and legs, police said. She was rushed to Bellevue Hospital, where she was in stable condition. Agabarbara allegedly fled the station on foot. Police asked for help identifying her on Monday, hours before her eventual arrest. And this unprovoked attack was senseless and absurd, MT spokesman Tim Mitton said in a statement Tuesday following Agabarbara's arrest. The city needs to provide additional mental health services to assist those who may endanger themselves and others. Wow. So give it up for the damn idiot who basically decides to do some crazy shit like this, though. But first, a buzzer. And a round of applause for the attempted murder. And now we could go to the Chatting on the Jazz segment right here, as you can see. Of course, I'm always going to start with the serious stuff first. Now, this topic came to me as I was watching this person's live stream on 17 Live, which is where I'm recording right now. Now, in case for the new listeners and the YouTube and YouTubers that's watching on the YouTube Universe community, we're live streaming from StreamYard, YouTube, and 17 Live. And this person had brought up a topic that kind of caught my attention in regards to the TV and the film movie industry, going on strike. And shout outs, I want to give a shout out to this person. Her name is Parker Jesse Chase. If you guys don't know who she is, you can follow her on 17 Live and also follow her on Instagram. That's Parker Jesse Chase on 17 Live and Instagram. There you go. Okay. So this is an article from Archetel.com. So this is how the story goes right here. And we're gonna go through this together. Okay. So a woman, excuse me, a union of Hollywood employees is preparing to strike to demand better working conditions and better wages, which means that your list of shows to watch on Netflix could be shrinking in a few months. Contract negotiations between the International Alliance of Stage, Theater, and Cinema Employees and the Alliance of Film and Television Producers stalled last week. The union voted for the authorization of a strike from October 3rd. If the latter is triggered, 6,000 film crew members, mostly middle and low income, could quit their jobs and interrupt production of your favorite series and movies. Oh, wow. Hold on. Let me play this. Yeah, listen. This strike affects areas such as set design, costume design, the use of the camera, and even post-production editing. A strike could also annoy the general public because they will not be able to have as much content to watch in the future. Indeed, it could slow down the production of films and television shows. Including series that will be broadcast on digital services like Amazon or Netflix. Theorized Alan Brunswick, lawyer specializing in labor law in the labor market entertainment. The strike would have a cascading effect on filming across the United States. It would impact smaller projects like live broadcasts and daytime TV soap operas in the short term. An industry expert told Insider, as time passes, the effects can trickle down to bigger budget projects with longer production schedules. We are talking about movies to watch and streaming and feature films. In particular, those in the process of being shot or in post-production. Oh my fucking God, I would be livid and I'd be screaming out of my ass if this was to happen to anybody that I know. Yeah, this could affect such shows as Saturday Night Live, The Tonight Show, Stranger Things 4, and The Crown, and even the series of Marvel Studios projects Future, cable programs from HBO, Showtime, and Stars, which operate under a separate pay TV contract that has not yet expired, as well as reality shows and promotional work, will not be affected, added Alan Brunswick. I have clients who have TV series, online series, and movies that are already in production or planned for production, and they are definitely going to be affected, said Ivy Kagan Bierman, lawyer specializing in labor law in the entertainment sector. Production companies and studios have started to make plans to circumvent the strike, but their efforts could change the structure of the entertainment industry as well. Filming could be relocated. The productions could leave the United States and go to Canada or elsewhere in the world, which again really affects our economy, said Ivy Kagan Bierman. A decision that could strengthen foreign productions. That being said, it is certain that many productions are not able to relocate outside the United States. They will be closed or will delay their starting dates of shooting, detailed lawyer. For Alan Bierman, some producers might try to hire non-union film crews, even if there are fewer of them. However, channel networks such as NBC, ABC, and CBS might need to tap into their vast libraries of syndicated or licensed content to show reruns or reality shows. These could fill the gaps in the television grid left by the strike. Oh, wow. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So the IATSE has started negotiations with the studios after the expiration of the previous contract at the end of July. Discussions reached an impasse at the end of September due to two contracts that did not meet the union's demands. The alliance wanted, in particular, the improvement of working conditions, ensuring that employees have sufficient sleep time, meal breaks, and improved wages. The blockage marks the greatest tension in Hollywood since the writers' strike that took place in 2007 and 2008. She has suspended content production for 100 days. These are real problems for workers in our sector, and change is long overdue, IATSE said in a statement calling for a strike. The explosion of streaming combined with the COVID-19 pandemic has worsened the working conditions of employees, bringing 60,000 workers behind the scenes to a breaking point. Further detailed, the alliance adopted in the United States. It will be up to the IATSE leadership to officially call a strike. Oh my goodness. Hold on. I got something to say on that one, man. But this requires me going on a tangent. Look, whatever this crap that's going on with the TV and film industry that's going on, that's actually affecting a lot of people, especially graphic designers, cameramen, photographers, all these other positions that's going on in the TV and film industry. You want to go on a strike because you want to go on a strike. I understand the part about, you know, working conditions, meal times and rest and stuff like that. That I understand that part has to change. And the crazy part is, If there's no changes with their demands as far as the meal times, the sleep time, the all that stuff, it's going to actually affect the economy. So, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know what? You guys need to get your shit together. Like, this not only affects the workers, but it affects families. So please do all the negotiations as you want, and don't take it out on the hardworking people. I don't want to watch reruns of certain TV shows that's my favorite. And to be honest, I feel for the people. I feel for them. And I'm glad I actually got a chance to talk about this. This was actually suggested to me by a streamer from 17 Live. I want to say thank you to Parker Chase. Parker Jesse Chase for suggesting that I talk about this on the podcast, actually, which is what I'm doing. So thank you, Parker. Okay, now that we actually basically got that out the way. Of course, many of you may have known that the FDA approved the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, of course. And of course, we're gonna get into this right now. So at the beginning of May, Pfizer submitted an application to the Food and Drug Administration seeking full approval for their COVID-19 vaccines. Moderna is expected to follow suit, which I believe, from what I heard, that Moderna is actually going to be delayed. So I'm not sure exactly, so this is more like a wait and see. Currently, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson are allowed to distribute vaccines to the public under emergency use authorization, a form of approval used to facilitate the availability of drugs and vaccines during public health emergencies.
Yes, folks, this is public health emergencies. It is, like I said previously in a previous episodes ago, that the FDA already approved the Pfizer already. It just didn't get a chance to approve the Moderna yet. So there's still talks going on.
William Schaffner, MD, Medical Director of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, tells Very Well that the FDA full approved process is more rigorous compared to an EUA. End quote. It involves reviewing all the data regarding the effectiveness of the vaccine, its safety, many aspects of its manufacturing process, including inspections of the facilities where it's manufactured, and also some longer term data on safety, Schaffner says. But don't expect full approval anytime soon. The full approval process can take months. Epidemiologist and public health facility member at Walden University, Reed Banerjee, of course, MD, PhD, MPH, MS, CPH, MCHES, epidemiologist, and public health faculty member at Walden University tells Very Well. End quote. Once the FDA receives all parts of an application, it sets a target date for a regulatory decision, typically about 10 months later, Banerjee says.
Hold on. All right.
Because of the pandemic, the initial authorization of the COVID-19 vaccines was prioritized. In the case of the COVID-19 vaccine, since priority review was approved, this process only took 6 months, he adds. More than 290 million doses have already been administered, and 40% of the total U.S. population is fully vaccinated. The difference between an EUA and full approval, Banerjee says, that under an EUA, the FDA will only allow the use of unapproved medical products in an emergency to diagnose, treat, or prevent serious or life-threatening diseases.
Yes, that's true, folks. That's true.
In order for the vaccines to have received an EUA, Banerjee says they already underwent a rigorous process. In order to issue an EUA, it needs to be proven that the vaccine may be effective in preventing a serious or life-threatening condition, and that the vaccine's known and potential benefits can outweigh its known and potential risks, Banerjee says. He adds that the FDA issued EUA based on the safety and efficacy data from a large phase 3 clinical trial, underscoring the safety and effectiveness of the currently authorized COVID-19 vaccines. The FDA's scientific and regulatory advice to vaccine developers, as well as the FDA's
evaluation to determine the safety and effectiveness of vaccines are among the most robust in the world. Banerjee says, what could be done differently under full approval? Because the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines were only given EUA, they cannot be used once COVID-19 is no longer deemed a public health emergency. Full approval will allow vaccine companies to keep their shots on the market post-pandemic. Full approval would also mean the vaccine powerhouses are free to market the shots directly at the American public, which isn't currently allowed under an EUA. This will allow companies like Pfizer and Moderna to air advertisements and commercials promoting vaccination. With full approval, experts expect more employers and businesses to mandate vaccinations for employees and members. For example, there's a long list of colleges, Vanderbilt included, that has informed students that if you want to come back and attend this fall, you have to be vaccinated, Schaffner says. A full approval would have more leverage in court than just an EUA, Banerjee adds. Okay. It may help curb vaccine skepticism. When COVID-19 vaccines were first approved by the FDA, the approval was met with some skepticism from the public out of fear that the vaccines were approved too fast. Schaffner says that the full FDA approval could curb the hesitancy witnessed throughout vaccine rollout. I think it would provide a degree of psychological comfort and reassurance to some hesitant people that, yes, indeed, they've finally gone through the whole process, Schaffner says. And I think it might persuade some people to roll up their sleeves and get vaccinated. Yeah. I actually agree with this. And as I previously said before, nobody in the human race of mankind is actually invincible to a dangerous disease that's going on right now, especially with the Delta variants, especially with the coronavirus disease 2019. Nobody's fucking invincible. So I feel like, and yes, I did call out the unvaccinated people selfish, because you may have personal rights and fundamental rights and stuff, but what you don't have the right to do is kill people. You know what I'm saying? And of course, I'm pretty sure anybody could really understand what it feels like to be, you know, under a lot of pressure. But the decision is on you guys. It's not based on conspiracy theorists, okay? Conspiracy theorists don't have all the fucking answers. They have misleading information that's like trying to play a dangerous game. When you play a dangerous game with misleading information that's not factual, it could really cause a lot of problems. Believe me, I know a chicken finger or two of what's a fact and what's an opinion. Period. Okay, let's get to Ludacris. We haven't heard from this guy in a while since Fast 9 came out. So, let me see. So, for those of you who may not know what Ludacris has been up to after Fast 9 came out, there was a peanut butter Jif commercial that he was in. And he's in the studio basically, you know, changing the style of the way he raps. So here we go. We're going to look into this right now. And that's actually a good look, man. You know what I mean? That's actually a good look. And I kind of like it. You know what I mean? It brings back the lyricism And of course, the punchlines and the poetry and stuff like that. That's what I appreciate about music, though. You know what I'm saying? And speaking of which, we're going to go over this story together. All right? Okay. So, of course, in an interview with BET.com, the Atlanta rapper reveals more music is on the way. Symmetrically cut twin streak sideburns, 2000 to 2004 braids, arms reminiscent of his Get Back days. I think it's safe to say Ludacris is back. The Fast and the Furious actor vintage look can be seen in the latest creative ad where he has partnered with Jif Peanut Butter for that Jif'n Good campaign, which premiered on Monday, August the 16th. Titled The Return, Luda struggles to unlock a new flow to which he finds only a spoonful of peanut butter helps him master. He then brings the jar everywhere, even recruiting fellow Atlanta rapper Gunna for a feature, who, of course, is addicted to peanut butter as well. The ad ends with Luda frightening, realizing he's run out of peanut butter right before performing for a packed festival audience. Luckily, Gunna has his back ready to hook him up with a fresh serving, which gives to the Grammy Award-winning artist before they both rock stage. The Dave Myers directed video, the mastermind behind some of the visuals for Missy Elliott, Kendrick Lamar, Travis Scott, Anderson .Paak, etc., follows last year's viral Jif debate, which culminated in the two releasing a special jar of Jif peanut butter that replaces the classic Jif branding with Jif, and their 2019 Jif bunker spot that made Adweek's annual end of the year 25 best ads list that year. Additionally, the partnership between Jif and Ludacris signifies the 43-year-old return to hip-hop after spending significant time getting his acting on in Hollywood. The commercial also uses his newest single, Butter.ATL, which was released last week, August 12th, which was 2 months ago, prior to the debut of the ad. This is a big deal given the Chicago-born artist hasn't released an album since 2016's Ludiversal, but he tells BET.com it's not that he hasn't been wanting to make music, he's just been busy. Yes, I would say this is the catalyst for me getting back into music because I've been gone for a little while, he says. For all the Ludacris fans, you can let them know, I promise you, I will definitely put out more music. It's hard to say no when you get that call about Fast and the Furious 15, 20, and 25, he says, joking. In the song, Luda shows off fast, multi-syllable bars that sounds like he's got peanut butter stuck on the top of his mouth. The new Jif peanut butter inspired sound turned out so great. In fact, the brand is debuting their hashtag Jif Rap Challenge. Ooh. Jif Rap Challenge on TikTok. Oh boy.
I might talk about that in the future. So I'm gonna put that in the maybe file. Inviting other peanut butter lovers to get in on the action. To participate, fans would try and duet a verse from Butter.ATL. The only catch, they need to do it with a mouthful of Jif peanut butter.
I say this challenge is pretty better than the milk crate challenge. I'm pretty sure that it's a lot safer than somebody swallowing a jar of mayonnaise, which I will probably talk about the mayonnaise joint in a future episode, so don't worry about that, folks. Ludacris has always been a fan of peanut butter, and the partnership with Jif was more aligned than anyone would know. End quote, Jif has been in my life for my entire life, Ludic tells BET.com. Everybody has that one thing that they eat almost every day or every day and not get tired of it. Peanut butter is something I eat every single day. Jif peanut butter, to be exact, he continued. Jif is even supporting Ludacris' charity of choice and making a 25K contributions to the Boys and Girls Club. For those of you who may not know what K is, it basically stands for thousand. I've come to the point in my life after almost 20 years where anybody I'm in a partnership with, I just want it to be very natural and organic to what my everyday lifestyle is. The proud father of four confirms. And that's why this partnership is golden for me. It was made to be on. It was made to be. He continued. The partnership is even going as far as to release a limited edition 37-carat diamond and ruby Jiffy jar, a design collaboration between Ludacris and Jewel to the Stars Icebox. The two limited edition diamond and ruby Jif jars were created, one for Ludacris and one for a special use, which the brand will be announcing at a later time. Ooh, that's very interesting. Hang on for 1 minute before I gather my thoughts here. I like this Jif peanut butter commercial so much. I be seeing that almost every day. And it's funny that I didn't even know he was in it until I saw it for the first time. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people seen that. He went from having in the commercial ad as he's in the booth rapping, he went from having braids to an afro. So I'm like, yo. This is very, very, very artistic and very, very, very interesting and a lot of fun. So, you know what I'm saying? I really enjoyed that commercial, man. Out of all the Jif peanut butter commercials, this one is definitely my favorite, man. Right here, man. This is definitely my favorite, man. I want to actually do some double air horns for this one, man. Give it up for Ludacris, man. And an applause. Yes, and speaking of music news, we gotta talk about Megan Thee Stallion and her record label. Man, so Megan Thee Stallion says her record label won't let her release new music. Oh boy. Now, for those of you who may not know what's been going on, and you've been living under a rock, when you're signed to a record label deal, there's always politics behind it, and you're basically like against the machine. You know what I'm saying? As the guys from the Rhyme and Rhyme Animals podcast would be saying, like, they'll dictate what song is actually good and which one isn't, which is crazy to me. And we're going to go over this article right now. So here we go, folks. This is me looking at you on the screen. Megan Thee Stallion has filed a petition against 1501 Certified Entertainment and its CEO Carl Crawford, former... Major League Major League Baseball player, former baseball player, for blocking the release of a new song she planned to drop on Friday, this Friday, 2 months ago, which was August 27th. According to Variety, the Good News MC filed the documents in a Harris County, Texas court on Tuesday, August 24th. She's seeking emergency relief from the court before this Friday so she can release a remix to BTS Butter. The Houston hottie argued that blocking the release of the track will create irreparable damage to her career. However, Crawford believes the collaboration won't be a good move for her career, although BTS is arguably the biggest K-pop band of all time. If Megan is not allowed to release a new track this Friday, on which she is featured artist in a remix with BTS of the song called Butter, her music career would suffer irreparable damage, including a devastating impact to her relationships with her fans and with other recording artists in the music industry, the document states. Such irreparable injury to her personal goodwill and the silencing of her artistic expression in music cannot be compensated in the way of monetary damages. As such, Megan seeks emergency relief from this court. So the release of new music from Megan is vital to maintain her status as a relatively new but still up and coming artist, the filing continued. Absent media help from the court, Megan's art will be impacted. The release of the song derailed, and Megan's goodwill, reputation, and overall career will suffer detrimental, undesirable, and irreversible harm. Last year, Megan sued Crawford and the label for blocking her from releasing new music. A Texas judge granted the Savage rapper a temporary restraining order, which prevented the label from attacking her on social media and allowed her to release music. The lawsuit also revealed that Megan was only receiving 40% of recording earnings, and she had to use that money to pay engineers, mixers, and artists who were featured on her songs. Man. Okay. All right. Here's my take on this thing right here, though, man. I really hope that Megan Thee Stallion wins this, because it really would take a toll out of her if she didn't release any new songs or new albums or whatever. Like, let the woman live, you crazy ass motherfuckers. Like, this is the thing about being signed to a label. And I hear stories about this all the time. It's almost like you're being blocked from being creative in terms of, you know, creating sounds and style and stuff like that. And I just feel like This is just dirty politics that's being played with record labels. I mean, look at some of my friends that's doing music right now. They're doing all right without the labels. Why? Because it's about creative control with their art. Music is art. Music is therapeutic. It's made to actually be poetic as far as lyrics. And I feel like if you take away her career, you're basically doing no justice. You're doing the opposite. So I'm gonna tell you like this, man. And I'm gonna say this one more. I'm gonna say this in four words: kill that fucking noise. In other music news, of course, we got Billie Eilish. And I had to talk about this because she has a sneaker deal with Nike. Let's check this out. As if being a Grammy award-winning singer and songwriter wasn't enough, now Billie Eilish is adding designer and Nike co-creator to her expansive and notably impressive portfolio of work. While Eilish has long been an advocate for animal-friendly fashion, her latest venture in the space comes in the form of a vegan Air Jordan sneaker collaboration with Nike. The 19-year-old recently took to Instagram to announce the partnership and share details on the 100% vegan Air Jordan sneakers, which were set to debut on September 27th, which was last month. I'm not sure why they would name it a vegan Air Jordan sneakers, but I'm not going to really get into that one right there. I've always loved Jumpman 223, and it was such an incredible and surreal experience getting to create these, especially in a sustainable fashion, 100% vegan with over 20% recycled material, Eilish shared in the Instagram post. Oh, okay. A recycled material. Okay. That seems very, 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 very creative. This I gotta really see, man. Okay. The two Air Jordan silhouettes that are launching this week are available in separate styles. The Air Jordan 1KO and Air Jordan 15. While the sneakers still boast a classic Nike vibe, Eilish made sure to add her own unique flair to the shoes. Fans and sneakerheads alike will appreciate the traditional Nike fit of the style, along with the musician's signature BLOHSH logo on the shoe's tongue. The Air Jordan 1KO is available in a lime green color, another nod to Billie's aesthetic. And the Air Jordan 15 will come in a tape tone. Wow. For those of you who may not know, let me see if I can show this to you guys right here. I don't know if you guys can see it. Now, you guys probably not going to be able to see it, but if you go to eonline.com, right, you're going to see a picture of the sneakers that I'm seeing right now. So that I can actually let you know where to look for that. Or you can even Google it. You can Google it yourself. So anyway, beginning today, sneakers from the One of the Kind collaboration are available to purchase on Billie Eilish's official site. And beginning Thursday, September 30th, they will be available to purchase through Nike. For those who missed the launch at Nike, visit sites like StockX, who's sure to have them for purchase. Shop the Billie Eilish X Nike Air Jordan collaboration now. Plus, check out Megan Thee Stallion's. Go to Nike Picks and shop Jennifer Lopez's Adidas sneakers on Amazon. I did not know Jennifer Lopez was in the sneakers. Oh, man, that's crazy. Let me see. Before I even go over the highlights of what went down over the summer, as far as the concerts go, I want to go over something in regards to, hold on, let me see if I covered everything. Yeah. Let's go over this though. So basically it's been a year since Comic-Con didn't happen. And the reason I'm talking about Comic-Con is for all you comic book fans out there who are looking forward into going to Comic-Con this year is returning in New York. So here we go with this article right here. Comic-Con is making a comeback in New York City starting this Thursday, which is today. After an online gathering last year, the four-day festival is best known as a welcoming and open space to share interest in the cultural world centered around comic books, anime, and manga, cosplay, gaming, and more. This year's gathering includes exclusive events and celebrity panels. Star Trek's William Shatner and George Takei and Suicide Squad's John Cena will be featured guests for autographs and other appearances. Gathering much excitement is a Star Trek Prodigy event where those attending will be able to see the first episode of the new Star Trek series weeks before it makes its debut on Paramount Plus. Interesting. So, panels and select events can be seen online as part of the hybrid format this year. As the event is taking place in Javits Center in Manhattan, New York City, those attending who are eligible to have been vaccinated in the U.S., meaning anyone over the age of 12, will have to show proof of full vaccination. Anyone under the age of 12 can attend with a negative COVID-19 test result. All are required to wear a face mask, including in cosplay costumes. The event's website says a face covering has to be visible over the costume for entry. Organizers say there will be limited capacity at all times. The event's website says San Diego Comic-Con is also making its return late this November. So what I'm hearing is that the Comic-Con in New York City starts today, which means it's a four-day event. So today, tomorrow, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I believe. That's pretty much what it is, though. So if you want to go to Comic-Con, you would have to go to their website for tickets, and of course proof of full vaccination, which is very important because you don't want to have a sequel to another lockdown, because that will really affect the economy and along with all the other stuff. So we cannot have another economic tsunami. So for all you Comic-Con and comic book fans out there, especially the people in the gaming world and everywhere else, this is a spot that's actually for you. So I'm really glad and happy that Comic-Con is actually making a return, because at the end of the day, it is a form of entertainment. So let me give this a bell right here for making a comeback, man. And let's go with the double air horn, shall we? All right. Now that's some good news right here. Right? Now, I do want to go over some past concerts that went down. I want to actually go over the New York City Homecoming concert that took place in Central Park. Let's see. Let me try to look for some information right here. So it's basically what happened. Let me get this. All right. Highlights. Okay, here we go. I got this.
First it was that beauty where Stephen Colbert and Chuck Schumer danced together, and then this awkward moment where Barry Manilow had to stop singing mid-set due to inclement weather. Just listen to this mess. This is crazy. Hold on a minute, man. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to look for some more information so I can actually give you some highlights. Hang on a minute. If I can actually find Homecoming Week. Okay. Homecoming Week. All right. Okay. Homecoming Week. Okay, this takes place in Central Park. Here we go. So this is from the New York Post. We love New York City homecoming concert amps up COVID recovery, beats drum of ongoing vax effort. Okay. They didn't stop believing in New York City. Thousands of New Yorkers gathered on Central Park's Great Lawn Saturday to hear Journey, the Boss, Paul Simon, and a host of others trumpet New York City's comeback from COVID-19. The We Love New York, the homecoming concert, marked a long-awaited return to post-pandemic normalcy, and music lovers were ready to celebrate the scene and sounds, even as darkening storm clouds blotted out the sunlight and moved in over the skyscrapers of billionaires at row at the southern end of Central Park. It was great seeing the sun come up, very beautiful and peaceful, said Michael Dinger, 49, of Tapman, a concert photography enthusiast who arrived at 6 a.m. sporting a Bob Marley t-shirt. He was the first person online at the East 72nd Street entrance. It may be a little early, but I'm happy to be with the people and hear live music for a change. Who knows how long this can happen, said Dinger. Mary de Blasio on Saturday, which was 2 months ago, announced a state of emergency for Sunday just an hour before the first act took the stage. Visitors to the open-air spectacle were expected to brave gusts late in the show, but hoped to be home before the full arrival of Hurricane Henry's northernmost winds and drenching rain. The show highlighted New York City Homecoming Week, a 9-day festival of outdoor concerts, movies, cultural activities, and iconic events that kicked off last weekend to herald better days ahead. Concertgoer Sophia Petrucci, 22, an art pair from Buenos Aires, has never known New York as it was in its pre-pandemic glory. She moved here only a year and a half ago. Okay. I feel like we have a long way to go, but I'm trying to celebrate how long we've come considering how many people have been vaccinated, she said, while looking forward to seeing Journey, Julia Michaels, and the Killers. I'm excited to see everyone, but I'm here for the Boss, said Dean Danigan, age 52, a Bruce Springsteen fan from the Lower East Side, sitting on a blanket with three pals. Now, of course, I did see the video of the Homecoming NYC in Central Park, which involves some performers like Fat Joe. Of course, there's Remy Ma, there's French Montana. Of course, there were many other performers on there that I actually got a chance to watch on YouTube. I didn't go there face-to-face because I wasn't ready to be around people.
So let's see. In other music news, of course, I did get a chance to watch the full video of this concert event, which is Time for Hip Hop in NYC, which took place over the summer of this year. Uncle Ralph was the main host. So basically, I want to recap on the. I'm gonna recap though, man. You know what I'm saying? So, okay. So, as previously announced in Insider's Guide, Mayor de Blasio and Universal Hip Hop Museum Executive Director and President Rocky Bucano announced that Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. and New York State Assembly Speaker Carl E. Hesty, the dynamic lineup of hip hop, Latin lifestyle, dance, freestyle, techno, and funk artists set to perform at the It's Time for Hip Hop in NYC. Concerts to be held at outdoor venues in the Bronx, Staten Island, Brooklyn, and Queens. As a celebration of New York City's comeback during NYC Homecoming Week between, you know, August 14th to the 22nd, of course, you know, I did watch the whole video, of course, so let me just fill you in on the artists that performed. Okay. So the first place is in the Bronx. So the three headliners were KRS-One, Slick Rick, Remy Ma. The rest is Busy B, CL Smooth. Of course, I did see Greg Nice, CL Smooth, DJ Hollywood, DJ Jazzy Joyce, DJ Cavi Cav, Fantastic Five, Furious Five featuring Grandmaster, Melly Mel, and Scorpio. Grand Wizard Theodore, Joski Love, Kid Capri, Nice and Smooth, Pop Master, Fable, Soul Sonic Force, T-Law Rock, Ultra Magnetic MCs, and of course, Staten Island. The two headliners of the Wu-Tang Clan are Raekwon and Ghostface Killah. Of course, I did see Capadonna was there too. Crystal Waters, DJ Chuck Chillout, EPMD, Force MDs, Hakeem Green, Haesan Lee, who I'm going to review her music in a future episode of my other show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast. Also, Kool Keith, Lizzie Ashley. I did recently review her music on my other show as well. Pharrell Munch, Ricky, and Rob Bass. Hold on a second. All right, I'm gonna get to y'all comments in the 7 Live at the end of the show. I haven't forgotten about you guys, all right? So let me continue this. Okay, Brooklyn. Two headliners was Big Daddy Kane, who is also going to be in the future versus battle versus KRS-One. This should be interesting right there. Of course, Designer was there as another headliner. CNC Music Factory. Of course, DJ Mr. C was there. Elvana, Judy Torres, Lizzie Ashley was there. Mano, Abasi Jackson, Papoose was there. Pop Master Fable, Special Ed was there. Stessa Sonic, which also includes one of the guys that used to do Flavor videos, is also a host for a radio show on Party 101.9, who goes by the name of Bobby Simmons, who's also from Brooklyn. So there's Sweet Sensation and Young Devin. And the last place was Forest Hills, Queens, which took place in Forest Hills Stadium, which I have no idea where that is, actually. I've never even been there before. So in Queens, we got two headliners here. So basically, George Clinton plus the P-Funk All-Stars with special guest headliner. Of course, Too Short was another headliner. Of course, DJ Hurricane, DJ Wiz, EPMD, Mobb Deep, despite Havoc being the one to perform because Prodigy passed away, SIP to Prodigy. And of course, Yo-Yo was there too. So that's your recap for the summer concert events. And let's get to your comments right now. Let me see. Okay, 444488 sent the snack. Thank you. And you have Mike on live, just joined. Hi. And of course you have there's Tony HSU 1108 sent the snacks. Thank you. And Pearl Reed 40 just joined to say hi.
Welcome to the 17th live of my live stream of Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast. And yes, listen, I will say this though. Yes, this has been a great episode. I would like to actually say something, actually. Of course, I'm sorry for the delay due to the rearranging of my room. I didn't really get a chance to do it yesterday because I had to help somebody, a cousin of mine who wants to start a podcast and stuff. So I was, you know, giving him some pointers and stuff. So I was actually being able to actually do that. So I really hope and wish him good luck. So shout-outs to my cousin. Shout-outs to my cousin Will. I hope he has the best luck on his podcast journey. And I wish him the best. All right? Hang on a second, guys, as I take a little drink. All right. So listen. Yeah, this has been a interesting episode. I would like to actually, you know, take the time to actually say if you like what you heard in today's episode or any previous episodes whatsoever, be sure to show some love by making a charitable donation to my Cash App, which is GMoneyStacks555. $GMoneyStacks555. That's $GMoneyStacks555. And also, it's not about having a lot of money to break the bank. It's about whatever amount that you donate will be appreciated. And for the most part, you don't have to have a lot of money to show moral support. It's about doing what you can and doing your best. You know what I'm saying?
Also, what else? Yes. I would like to say, before I even get to the social media handles, let me just remind everybody that's watching on the YouTube universe. Of course, you can follow me on the app called 17 Live, which is G Money Stacks, Queens, New York. All right. I have it in the description right there, so you don't have to worry about spelling it out. So I already put the links on there, and I already put the links to Instagram where you could actually follow the show. All right. So you can follow the show Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast on Facebook and Instagram, alongside with my sports show, Excellent Fun Vibrant Podcast, and my review show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, which I will try to record next. So, and also you can follow me on the gram on my primary handle, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. Now, we are going to go to the stream platforms on the go. Just give me a second here. All right. Stream platforms on the go right here, right? Now, listen. When you go to the link in the bio of my primary Instagram handle, which is GMoneyStacks555 and Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast, you're going to see the link that says Linktree/GMoneyStacks555. You click on there, and it's going to have a list of streaming audio platforms where you can actually listen to the episodes. So where you can find the show is like this. We are on Podorama. We are on Anchor. We are on Audacy. We are on Spotify, Audioburst, Deezer, TuneIn Plus Alexa, Player FM, Podchaser, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Listen Notes, Podbay, Podfriend. Don't forget to go to the two links, Podfriend and Podchaser, so you can be able to give a 5-star rating. Even though you don't have too much to say on there, you can just give a 5-star rating. It actually helps. It actually helps the show grow even more. And yeah, so let me continue. We are on Reason FM. We are on Google Podcasts. And we are also on CastBox FM, by the way, which I forgot to mention. Yes, CastBox FM. And of course, don't forget to listen to Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, number one app for music, radio, and podcasts. And last but not least, the YouTube. Listen, folks. Here's what you need to do. Go to the YouTube channel, GMoneyStacks555, right? You're gonna see the subscribe button. Go grab it. Enable alerts along with the notification bell so you can be reminded of when the show goes in the air via live stream. Be sure to stay tuned for upcoming episodes, previous episodes, more video content, share the videos. Be sure to leave a like and a comment alongside with the topics, along with the topics, okay? Also, you can actually be able to you know, download your favorite episodes. Be sure to do that. Also, be sure, and very important, be sure to tell a friend to another friend. Spread the word. And be sure to basically share the podcast along with audio streaming platforms that I just discussed in the Linktree link in the bio of both pages of my Instagram, which is gmoneystacks555. And off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast. So there you have it, man. And listen, I want to inspire people who want to create a podcast along with whatever format they try to do. All right? So listen, if you have a dream of creating a podcast and you want to actually get yourself heard out there like I'm doing right now with my three shows right now, listen, don't let anybody stop you from achieving your goals and dreams, all right? And like I said, podcasting is not about pleasing listeners, the consumers, or any other type of thing whatsoever. It's not about that. Podcasting is about your thoughts and talks, your facts and your opinions. All right? Think of podcasting as therapy meets vlogging meets journaling. Now, like I said before, you can't really worry about what other people think. The same way you can't really worry about the haters who has something to say as far as trying to critique your shit. And the key thing to being a podcaster that you're creating is ownership, creative control. Because the fact of the matter is your RSS feed is yours. So basically you are the owner, not the production companies, not the media companies. They're not the owners. You are. So there is no blueprint into being successful. I remember going on Instagram and I was looking at the We All In coding line on Instagram. And, you know, shout out to my boy Chris from the We All In clothing line, man. I was looking at a picture where he had a t-shirt that says, "Success hits differently when no one believes in you." And that message really hit me. Why, you ask? Because sometimes as human beings, people go through things. And as far as, like, you know, it's kind of hard to get more support. And I'm kind of going through that myself. It's hard for me to get moral support from my mother in terms of what I'm doing for a career. And of course, you know, I told her that, you know, working in the post office is not my dream. It was never my dream to begin with. It was never my dream. I'm happy with the job that I'm at right now, which is Big Lots Supermarket. I'm able to be outside to get some sun, vitamin D, while I'm collecting carts and taking care of people that are shopping. I mean, that's what makes me happy. even though there's difficult challenges while I'm at work, but I try my best not to let that stop me, folks. And you shouldn't let anybody stop you from achieving your goals and dreams on whatever career field you're doing. And of course, for those new people who want to start a podcast, let me say this though, before I even wrap up. You have to have headphones. You need a laptop or a computer. You need a software where you're doing your live streams or your audio recordings. You also need what else? When you record your first episode, you want to make sure you post it. Make sure you do your edits, add your music, delete audio recordings, sound effects, whatever you want to call it. You want to make sure that that the sound quality is all right. You don't have to have something expensive or anything like that to actually, you know, start a podcast. But although sometimes people want to get the good one instead of the cheap one, which I clearly understand that. And the way you are going to be successful is by being able to not worry about other people in competition, because everybody's success is different. And like I said before, there is no fucking blueprint to this shit. You know what I'm saying? It took me months for me to actually get a better understanding on how to put a podcast together. Being able to come up with topics, being able to do what I love, being able to make a career out of it, which is what I'm doing. Not the fucking miserable job at the post office, which no offense to the people that's actually working there. I'm not knocking you. I'm not knocking anybody that's working there, but I would not want to be in a cubicle like an office or a post office standing all day long, because that's not for me. I'm ready to follow my goals and dreams into podcasting. And I'm glad I'm able to do that, because now that I have all these days off, I'm using those days off to actually record and create content for you guys. So that way y'all don't think that I disappeared or anything like that. Sometimes I take hiatuses, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. And it's actually okay to take a break sometimes. But I also want to make sure that I'm always active. All right. I always want to make sure that I'm always active, because if I'm not active, that means I'm not happy. And the people that's listening and the YouTubers that's watching, they're not going to be happy. So I want to make sure that I do the best I can with these episodes that I'm doing. And, you know, like I said, we are reaching the 1 year anniversary of Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast, which is very, very, very dope. And I'm actually proud that I actually made it this far. And of course, yes, it has been difficult for me to do episodes by myself without, you know, co-hosts and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, sometimes I can't, sometimes it's hard for me to actually, you know, replace anybody and stuff like that due to scheduling. So hopefully maybe someday after I reach over the 1 year anniversary and the 100 episode. So there's two missions I have to do. 1 year anniversary celebration, highlighting the topics, the favorite episodes and stuff like that, which I am going to do. And the 100 episode, I'm actually going to figure something out on how I'm going to celebrate the 100 episodes. So we'll see what happens. So basically, you know, that's my take on that shit though, man. You let success speak for itself. You know why? Because you matter. You matter. Nobody else does but you. And what you do with that success, you don't have to brag about it. But you want to eat those haters up like lunch, Homer Simpson style, like this. Also, be sure to reach out to your loved ones, whether it's your husbands, your wives, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your friends. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, you know, mental health matters. And that's why sometimes whenever I go on live streams and stuff, I do mental health check-ins. It's because, you know, it's to show that I care. I mean, I'm not trying to be the fucking asshole who don't care about what a person's going through, even though it's very difficult for me to relate to the traumatic experiences of what certain people went through. But I want to show that I am not the useless friend out there that you can reach out to. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole reason why I'm doing, you know, these three podcast shows. That way, someday you guys can get to know me. I will do a Q&A one of these days when I do a special episode. I don't know when exactly, but you know, be sure to reach out to all your loved ones and be sure to there's no time frame on reaching out to people that you care about. Even though they have work, even though they had a long day of work and they're tired and stuff like that, you also want to make sure that they're okay. And they appreciate that. And this is where I've been taking from all the live streams that I have been doing and viewing. And you know, it's very interesting sometimes, you know, you can't blame yourself for all the things that happened that you let happen. This wasn't on you. This was on somebody else that created the misery like company. And you don't deserve that. You matter. When it comes to mental health, you matter. Nobody else does. You know what I'm saying? And that's the real fucking truth. And this is how I feel from the token of my soul, mind, and my heart. And I really mean this. And this is no cap either. This is me, you know, expressing myself. When I hear stories like this, I end up coming up with my own thoughts. And this is exactly what this is about, man. This is about inspiring other people. It's not about hating on one another. It's not about hating on somebody's thumbnail. It's not about hating on somebody who decides to do, you know, three shows. It's not about hating on somebody who wants to actually, you know, be successful in his own lane. And like I said, there is no guidebook that's going to make you successful. It's all about you and your story. and what you want out of it. And remember, the two important things: ownership and creative control. That's what matters. Not fame, not being mainstream, not doing all that extra stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Because being a role model is not for everybody. And it's too much of a responsibility to please everybody, especially when they try to watch their every move on things. You don't need that type of peer pressure and stress. And that's my take on it. So you take it with a grain of salt. And that's it. And I'm going to actually give myself an applause for being realistic on things. No, let's go out with a bang. Let's go out with a bang, man. Yeah, so listen, man, I like to thank everybody, especially those who tuned in all over the world, state to state, including New York and parts of the five boroughs like Cambria Heights, Brooklyn, Bronx, Forest Hills. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me and actually getting to know me as a person and as a human being. There's going to be more content in the future. There's going to be more episodes in the future. So don't you worry. And like I said, if you miss any previous episodes whatsoever, don't worry. I always got your back. And I will say this. This has been a great episode of Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast, episode 69, folks. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you so much for listening, tuning in, and rocking with me. And we are going to go out with a bang, all right? So, thank you for listening. Peace and one love, and have a good night. Listen, folks, if you like what you heard, I need your help on a couple things. If you like to support Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast,
You can show some love by following the show on Facebook and Instagram with the same name at Off the Meat Rat Chains NY Podcast. OFFTHEMEATRACKCHAINZNYPODCAST. Alongside with my primary Instagram handle, GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. And go to the YouTube channel, GMoneyStacks555. Be sure to click the subscribe button. Grab the notification bell so you can be reminded on when the show goes in the air live via live stream. More video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes that will automatically be posted after the recordings. Like, comment on the episodes with the topics, share the videos, download your favorite episodes, rate, spread the word to a friend, to other individuals. Please be sure to share the podcast with audio stream choices to your friends. The audio streaming services includes Anchor, Audio Burst, Breaker, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Pocket Cast, Podbay, Podfriend, Podcast Addict, Podorama, Podchaser, Reason FM, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. I'm G Money Stacks, and thank you, listeners and watchers, for tuning into the podcast. One love.